said, God's dealing with me about getting back in the pastorate. Where, I don't know. So we go down to church down there in Fort Lauderdale, and we're in Naples and Orlando, and they were telling me about this church in Clewiston. And I went up there, and we took the motorhome up there, and we looked around, and I told Judy, and, you know, hey, if this is what God wants, let's do it. And she's like, yes. She said, but boy, I wish they spoke English around here. She says, is China going to be like this? Because we were getting ready to go to China, and she hadn't been over there with me. And I said, no. I said, I think it's worse here. Everybody in China I talked to pretty much speaks English. But we were in a place that but you know what we said? We'll take it, God. You want us here? We'll be here. Well, then you know the story. In February, I came across the panhandle. Just wanted to park the motorhome here because this church changed my life. And we stopped here, and guess what? You're looking for a pastor. And then it was us. Wow, that's how God works. You know what he says? He says, have faith in God. When I said that to my wife didn't know what to say. She looked at me and she said something, and she said, I thought you never wanted to get back in the pastorate again. Because I said that. You know what I said in response? I said, it doesn't matter. This is what God wants us to do. I know that for a fact. The reason I didn't want to get back in the pastorate was because God wanted me on the road. And I'd had several churches ask me to pastor through the 19 years. And I would say to her, I don't want to get back in the pastorate. You know when I wanted to get back in the pastorate? In January 2019. Why? Because God changed my heart. Have faith in God. Jesus told them that. I need to tell you that. If your faith is lacking, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You want to please God? I can tell you how. Have faith in God. Let's look at another one. Look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Look at, and we're just skimming the top. I'm not going to get into all the backstory or anything else, but in chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, saying, I'm in chapter 4, can't be there. Chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Having faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to dispel something. Listen, every time there was a healing, it wasn't the faith of the individual that brought the healing. But in this case, he says faith in his name. Why? Because if there was no name of Jesus, if there was no Jesus, there'd have been no healing. So faith in his name, through faith in his name is what was important. Look at another one in Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. What's the Bible say in Acts chapter 24? I believe we're looking at Felix here in verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Notice Paul's not preaching the faith of Jesus Christ. He's preaching the gospel, and the gospel is the faith in Christ. People don't even understand what the faith of Jesus Christ is. You get saved, you can understand it because you can understand your Bible. Verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. We never know whether Felix called back for him or not. All we know is that when he started reasoning with him about who Jesus Christ is, that he is the Savior of the world, that he died on that cross, that he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. The Bible says Felix trembled. Listen, I'll tell you, sometimes you'll get under conviction, a person will get under conviction, and they'll reject that conviction, and they'll say, well, I just need to hear from you later on because I'm not ready to make this decision. Let me tell you something. If God wants you to make a decision for Him, you better make it while you have opportunity, or you might lose that opportunity. That goes for saving faith, saving grace. That goes for getting saved, and it also goes for living grace later on. Look at another one. Look at Galatians chapter 3. I know in my Bible, when I read through my Bible, I study my Bible, there's certain things that I really like. And one of them is to know that I'm a child of God. In Galatians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 26, It says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You are saved by faith in Christ Jesus. For by grace he is saved, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're saved by grace. But listen, it's faith in Christ Jesus that saves you. Yes, I understand about the faith of Jesus Christ. But you need to have faith in him because he saves. Look at what he says in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul writing this book also, along with 13 others. But he wrote Ephesians chapter 1, and look at verse 15. Ephesians 1, 15. Oh, man, that is so... I'm looking at it going, this cannot be right. I'm in Philippians. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Wherefore, also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul said, I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus. You know what I want people to hear about Doug Stauffer? I want them to hear about my faith in Christ Jesus. I want them to know, listen, I love the Lord. I want to live for Him. I want to give Him my whole life. I've been saved 42 years. 3 years I didn't serve Him. 3 years. 1981, 1982, 83, and 84, parts of each one of those years. I got away from God. I didn't go to church. I didn't pray until August 8th, 1984. I prayed for the first time really in 3 years. Bam, my whole life changed. I just graduated from Penn State. The next day, I'm in Bible college correspondence in Alabama. And boy, I couldn't look people in the eye. I remember I'd walk up and shake their hand like this because they were all spiritual giants and I was a nobody that just wasted 3 years of my... No, I didn't. I wasted it, yes. I mean, I went to college, I got a degree, but I wasted it spiritually. You can get all the things in the world, but if you don't have that spiritual relationship that you're supposed to have, you waste your life. There was that faith. I prayed and God just said, hey, you got that guy that stayed in touch with you that was in this church, Eddie Mills, and he's over in Alabama going to Bible college. He's invited you over. Pick up the phone. I knew what I was supposed to. I picked up that phone and I called him. And I said, hey, you still got that Bible college? He says, yeah, come on over. And so I get in my car. I just went down. I said, look, I know this is wrong. I said, but I quit this job at Marriott Hotels. I was in the Marriott Marquis. I said, I'm done with it. I said, I got to get right with God. And the next day, I drove that day to Alabama. And the next day, I'm starting the correspondence classes because I wanted to get right with God and I wanted to do it the right way. Some people say to you, why do you put in so much time? How all the time you put in? I work 7 days a week. Why? I'll just say it this way then, maybe. I have 3 years that I took off all my free time. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the way I'll view it. I just like to work. I like to serve the Lord. I like to interact with people. I like to talk about the Lord with everybody that I meet. Now, I don't do with everybody I meet. I like them to know there's something different about me. I've had people ask me, just like you have, where people say, hey, what's different about you? Why do you have a smile on your face? Let me tell you, if you ask me why I got a smile on my face, Jesus is coming out of these lips. I mean, listen, no matter how bad my day can get, and I did have a bad day within the last 3 weeks. I remember it was terrible. I don't even remember what it is now. That's how come when you get older, it's blessing. It is. It's like I'm sitting here, I'm trying to remember what was that bad day about. I remember telling my wife or somebody called me and, you know, you call me and they'll say, well, hey, how are you doing? Fabulous are the words that I say. Every time on the phone, there was one day I got a call and I remember it was the last, and somebody said, well, how are you doing? I said, it was one of those days. And they're like, what? I told them what it was. There was a lot of things going wrong. There were a lot of things going wrong that day. But let me tell you something. A bad day with Jesus is better than anything this world can offer you. What about your faith? He said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Look at another one. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 4. Colossians 1, 4 says this, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world. And he goes on, he says, but he talks about your faith there in verse 4. Since we heard of your faith, do people hear about your faith? I want them to hear about my faith. I want them to know that I love the Lord. That everything that I do revolves about around that relationship. It's not religion. I don't want religion. I want relationship. I've got relationship. Do you have that relationship? Look at another one in Colossians. Look at chapter 2. I think it's verse 5. Colossians 2, verse 5. He says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Steadfast faith. I want to have that. I don't want a faith that is on sinking sand. And by the way, I got Jesus and he's not on sinking sand. He's the solid rock. That's the faith I have. That's the faith you can have. And you and I need that faith. Going back to Philippians again, and let's continue on, because the point of my message really starts in verse 19. Talking about Timotheus or Timothy. The Bible says in verse 19 of Philippians chapter 2, he says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. You know, one of the things, and I've traveled a little bit more this year, or I will through the end of the year. I got to go to Puerto Rico and Wisconsin and a few others. But for when I first came, you know, I determined I didn't want to travel anymore. I don't even enjoy traveling. 19 years on the road. And God just changed my heart. When I looked at Judy and I said, God's dealing with me about getting the pastorate, you know what he did? He took my heart and he put it back in Knoxville. I was leaving the church. We left on whatever day, say a Friday, and we went to Atlanta. And it was a Friday. And on Friday, we were leaving Atlanta, and for the first time in 19 years, my heart was back in Knoxville at my home church. I didn't want to be on the road. I did not want to be on. So God changed my heart. I got here in 2019 in June, and he changed my heart again. It's like, I really don't want to travel, but I did promise several people that I would come in. Then COVID hit, and guess what? I couldn't travel! But I had all those promises. Now I've had to make a few of them up. So, yeah. So I'm going to make them up through the end of the year. I don't even have one trip planned next year. Now I'll have to go a few times here, a few times there. But it won't be like from now to the end of the year. And I'm not. I really look forward to the wedding this weekend. I was going to say I'm not going to go to another wedding. I changed that because I realized this is very important for those young people getting married. So I'm thrilled to death that they would ask us to come. Now, how they got to ask us face to face when they came down from North Carolina and sat in those pews. They had two rows, one big family with their children all and grandchildren. And they said, are you coming to the wedding? When is it? September this. And I went, let me look at my calendar. And I go, and you know, it's pretty wide open because I don't travel that much. I said, I will try to be there. Then they asked me to do something in the wedding. How do you turn that down? Look at verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus. Now look, that is what I want you to see. I want you to hold your place here and look at Ephesians chapter 1, one of the most important verses in your Bible on trusting in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 12. Ephesians 1:12. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. So who's the first one to trust in Christ? The Father did. The Father trusted the Son to leave heaven's glory and come down to earth and do His will. Do you remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, if it be possible, you know, let this cup, the cup of God's indignation, let this cup pass from me, but yet not my will, but thine be done. You see, that's what Jesus said. And God trusted in Him, the Son, to do His will. And He fulfilled all of it. But I want you to read verse 13, because that's where I wanted to go. Then it talks about us. And it says in verse 13, very important verse, look at it, in whom? So you trust in a person, not a religion. You trust in a person, not a person. Now I'm pointing at myself for those of you looking down at the verse reading the rest of it. You trust in Jesus Christ. You don't trust in a pastor. You don't trust in a priest. You don't trust in a pope. You trust in whom? In whom who? Jesus Christ. That's verse 12. God trusted in Jesus, in whom, Jesus, ye also trusted. When did you trust in Jesus? Look at the rest of the verse. After that ye heard the word of truth. What's the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. In whom, it says it again to make sure you get it. Also, after that ye believed, so after you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And then verse 14 says you become the purchased possession. Jesus Christ paid for your sins and you are the purchased possession. How do you become the purchased possession? Trust in Jesus. You're not included by simply hearing the truth. You are a part of His body. You are bone of His bone. Flesh of His flesh. You're a child of God, adopted into the family of God. I could go on and on for 10 minutes telling you all the things you are in that moment that you trust in Jesus, in whom you also trusted. Have you ever trusted in Him to be saved? I got saved 42 years ago here in Niceville, Florida. My life's never been the same. My life was going in this direction. It was going, I'll explain it if you don't understand it. I understand that. I mean, I know how embarrassing it can be, so I try to make it a little bit softer landing. Go on back to Philippians. Philippians. The good thing is that phones are never an interruption in our life. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 19. He says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own. Isn't that a shame that Paul is having to write that? That nobody will naturally care for your state. Do you know what I want to be? I want to be peculiar. I don't want to be natural. You say, you are hitting the mark on the peculiarity. I want to be different. I don't want to be natural. The natural man does not seek after the things of God. If you stay in your natural state, you know what you will become? You'll become everything that the world has. You'll be focused on the things of the world, focused on whatever it is. You need to be supernaturally minded. Because if you're supernaturally minded, you will be unlike these people that he's writing about that only care for their own selves. I've told you the greatest thing that I can give you is time. That's my greatest gift to anybody, is my time. You say, well, I thought it would be prayer. What's prayer take? Time. I thought it would be, you know, talking to people. What's talking to people? What's talking on the phone? What's writing an email? What's writing a text? What's it take to encourage somebody? Time. The greatest thing I can give you is my time. I do not want to be like the world. I don't want to be natural. I want to be supernatural. If you're supernatural, you know what you'll do? You'll start investing in people, investing time in others. And that is what life is all about. You know, I quote it all the time, Revelation 4:11. We are here for the pleasure of God. What pleases God? Well, I've already mentioned faith does. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I have preached three or four messages just on pleasing God and how you please God and what the Bible says about it. But let me tell you something. I want to live that. I fail sometimes. Sometimes I'm focused on self and I shouldn't be. But I want to be like Timothy is talking about, or like Paul is talking about Timotheus. He says, for I have no man like-minded, verse 20, who will naturally care for your state. It was a natural thing. Do you know that sometimes you can be born with a good disposition. Sometimes you have to be trained into a good disposition. You've got quite a few children. You didn't say, well, just make your own decisions. No, most decisions for children are made by the parents until they come to the point where they can make their own decisions. And then every now and then the parents got to go, just going to watch them fail. I can't watch. I can't watch. I can't watch. Now, do you know why I tried to tell you not to do that? Oh, yeah, I understand. But you see, naturally, we'll go in the wrong direction. We've got to get our children to go in the right direction. We've got to get our marriage to go in the right direction. We've got to get ourselves to go in the right direction. It doesn't come naturally. That's what church is all about. Church is about gathering together and looking at the Word of God and being changed by what the Bible tells us, changed by what it says and what we do and how we react to it. Listen, if you're like Felix and you go, oh, come back when I have a convenient time, you know, that time may never come. I don't want to be like Felix. I want to be in tune with the things that God wants me to hear, what He wants me to know, what He wants me to do. I want to be so in tune that it becomes more natural for me to serve rather than self. And as it becomes more natural, you know what will happen? You'll be a different person. I've told you the story. I made three things. Guy pointed a gun to my head while I was on Okaloosa Island. And I said, three things. I'm going to go to college at night. I'm going to move off the island and quit partying so much. And I'm going to go to church and find a wife. I went to church and I found Jesus. But I didn't get married until 7 years later because even though I wanted to find a wife, I was too natural. And even after I got married, I stayed a little too natural, but she's worked on me after 33 years and still going. And I still fail. But you know what? There's hope. You know why there's hope? Because of this right here. Because the closer that I saturate my life with the Bible, the closer I draw to God, the more I saturate my life with the Bible, the more that He can impact me. That's what the Bible's all about. You either feed the Spirit or feed the flesh. If I feed the Spirit, I will grow in grace. When I feed the flesh, of the flesh, I'll reap corruption. And you know what else? I'll infect people around me. Whether that be my children, my family, my wife, our church. Whatever it is, I'll impact people around me in a negative fashion. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. He said, they don't naturally care for your state. Verse 21, he says this, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. I want to seek for the things that are Jesus Christ. I hope you do too. Verse 22, but ye know the proof of Him. Listen, do you have proof about what you do and how you live? Can people look at you and say, you know, in a court of law, I could prove you were a Christian. in the court of law, I could prove that you love Jesus. In the court of law, I could prove that. What about it? He says, and here's the last verse, verse 22. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served with me in the gospel. As a son with a father. You know what? That's the way our relationship should be with others. We should serve together in the gospel. I appreciate each and every one of you, whether visitor or church member. I appreciate that we get to serve together. That's what church is about. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Listen, yeah, I see the day approaching. Jesus Christ is coming back. We're leaving. I don't know how bad it's going to get. I know the Bible says it's going to men will wax worse and worse. I know that much. But I know this. I would choose no other place on earth to serve together. And that's why I'm here. That's why you're here. And that's why we can build a bond that the world can look at and say there is nothing on earth like a bond between brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's continue to build it. Let's continue to grow together. Let's continue to be more like Timotheus, where Paul could say of him, there's nobody like him. Like a father with a son, we've served together in the gospel. Let's serve together. Let's do that. Let's make a pact together that we are going to do more and not less. We're gonna draw the people in this area to our church because we're going to convey and portray the love of Christ in such a way that people see not us, but they see Jesus in us. Because that'll make a world of difference. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, you thank you for your many blessings, and we thank you for dying on that cross and shedding that blood and becoming sin for us and giving us the opportunity to become children of God. Lord, we do pray that if there's a lost person in our midst that has never accepted you as their personal Savior, today would be the day of salvation. Today would be the day when conviction comes and they realize their need to have that relationship, not religion, but relationship. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. With your head bowed and eyes closed, God's spoken to you in some way.